Boyd Matheson divides rage from reason on Inside Sources.
Well, as the vote on the several aid packages worked their way through the House of Representatives, expecting full votes to take place tomorrow on Saturday. And, of course, you've got the internal drama going on the Republican side. You have a number of things that have moved through, including the rules where the Democrats jumped in and gave their support to that. It all makes for very interesting things in terms of the politics of it, but there's also a leadership component to it that I think is really important to look at as well, and how we actually get there. Fantastic piece in Politico today, how Speaker of the House Mike Johnson and President Joe Biden have locked arms, especially when it comes to Ukraine. Jennifer Habercorn, of course, is the White House reporter for Politico. She writes about the relationship between the administration, the Biden administration, and what's happening on Capitol Hill. And this is the ultimate in that. Jennifer, welcome back to the show.
Boyd, thanks so much for having me.
So kind of give us your take on this, because I think it's an interesting, not just political moment, but I think it's a leadership moment.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you recall the Biden administration has been pushing for months to get this Ukraine bill through the House. They finally got it through the Senate, and then Speaker Mike Johnson, didn't want this bill to come to the floor because he's got, you know, a lot of factors to consider. There's many House conservatives don't like the idea of sending U.S. aid to Ukraine, so he had to overcome that. And now, you know, we're at this moment where Johnson is coming to grips with the fact that he's putting a bill on the floor that would fund Ukraine. It would also send U.S. aid to Israel and the Indo-Pacific. And his speakership might come to an end over it, because there are the conservatives who are saying we're going to bring this motion to vacate the thing that, you know, felled Kevin McCarthy to the floor. And I worked with my colleague Adam Cankren, and our sources told us that, you know, this is really coming up shortly after new U.S. intelligence showed just how dire things are in Ukraine. This is something that the White House had spent months warning Johnson, you know, is going to happen. And we've, you know, there has been public reports about the struggles Ukrainians have faced in the war against Russia. But this is, you know, really all coming to a head all at the same time.
Yeah, I think it's very interesting to see how that and the intelligence, I think, that the Speaker of the House has given, I think, probably adds to the dynamic of all of that in terms of understanding the reality of what's on the ground. I thought it was really interesting, and I've been dying to ask you about this, Jennifer. I thought the remarks from the Speaker on Wednesday evening as they rolled things out, and both his comments in terms of, hey, my job is to do the right thing and we'll let history judge it, and if it costs me my job, so be it. And then Hakeem Jeffries coming out and saying, look, we're going to do this in a responsible way. We're going to stand with our allies. And used an and, not a fake fight and false choice. And we can get some aid to those in need, including those inside of Gaza. Is this a moment where maybe we can see a little shift in terms of the dynamics in the House and that connection with the White House? How do you see that play out?
Yeah, certainly. Jeffries wants this Ukraine aid approved, and so he has every incentive to make this as easy as possible for Mike Johnson, you know, putting aside their partisan hats. He has no incentive to kind of kick him while he's down because he needs Johnson to bring this to the floor. Certainly he's going to put his partisan hat back on very quickly once this passes. But certainly, you know, we're seeing Johnson, Jeffries, the White House, trying to put on their statesmanlike aura right now. And in some way, that's the only card that they have to play. Because if they prop each other up as statespersons, that's going to make the job easier here. Of course, this all, you know, is what has the backdrop of this motion to vacate threat, because if this bill does come to the floor and pass, Johnson is likely to face that within a short period of time.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting, too, that the president did signal his strong support for the package, the four separate bills going through. And clearly that was a message to Hakeem Jeffries as well, in terms of, hey, let's get this thing. This is our chance to get this done. And yeah, there will be the aftermath in terms of whether they do that motion to vacate. Do you think there's any appetite on the Democratic side to say, okay, we'll stick with you at least for a season for standing up and doing the right thing on these aid packages?
Yeah, you know, that's the hottest question on the Hill right now, frankly. Hakeem Jeffries, the Democratic leader, gave a press conference this morning, and he was asked several times in many different ways, you know, are Dems going to come to Johnson's rescue? And, you know, he said several months ago, kind of in a roundabout way, he said, you know, essentially that if Johnson does the right thing, he assumes that there will be enough Democrats who believe he should be saved. And if I had to guess right now, I think that's what would happen. But I think one thing to really consider is that once Johnson does that, he loses the support of conservative Republicans. He becomes essentially a coalition party leader, which is not something we have in the United States.
Yeah.
So the theory is that once that happens, that even if Democrats save him one time, conservative Republicans are just going to continue to bring that motion to vacate, and that his time as Speaker will have an end date, and it'll just be a matter of how long it takes to get to that point. And I think that's something everyone on the Hill is cognizant of, that, you know, once that happens, the end is nigh.
Yeah. And I thought it was interesting, too, just between the used to be the criticism from former President Trump on a number of things the speaker was doing. Now they've had kind of their Mar-a-Lago moment and standing together. I thought it was very interesting. You all had focused on former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, coming out and saying, hey, you know, brave people die just once. It's the coward that dies 100 times. And kind of saying, look, he's got a one vote majority. This is not an easy thing. Let's let the person lead for a minute and see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, he's right. Whatever you think of Mike Johnson and the Republican majority, it is herding cats seems kind of unfair.
To cats,
To cats.
I think it's offensive to cats.
The cats are offended.
Yeah.
And it's right. This is a tough group. You know, every member has enormous power. And you have everyone from the moderates to the most conservative who are just, and you know, the younger people would say the vibes are very bad. There's a lot of hostility. You know, the conservatives feel like Johnson isn't doing enough to get enough out of Democrats. And there are a lot of folks who feel like Ukraine really needs this aid and that the U.S. is really faltering on being that beacon of hope for the world if they don't approve this funding. So, all that said, he has this impossible task. He can't appease everyone. So, and that's why I said the only card that he really has to play right now is that statesman role, because if he comes into it with that attitude of I need to do what I feel is right and deal with the consequences later, that's probably his strongest card right now.
Yeah, I think it is the strongest card. And I think in many ways, he actually is a coalition speaker because there's so many different factions. I mean, you rattled them all off, and it's like, wow, this is actually coalition governing. And so that'll be interesting to see if that becomes more of a norm. What does that do for some of the center right, or excuse me, some of the center left Democrats, if that changes their dynamics in an election year as well? Anything else we should keep our eye on as we roll into the weekend, Jennifer?
I think, you know, that motion to vacate when it comes to the floor and to the point that you just raised about the centrist Democrats, you know, I think one important thing to watch is, you know, if Democrats do save Johnson, what do Democrats get out of that? You know, certainly they want to keep the House functioning. I mean, if we go through a motion to vacate again, there is a scenario where the House doesn't have a speaker and essentially can't move and on anything. And with two wars going on, there's a lot of serious people who are concerned about that possibility, that once Johnson's gone, if you can't elect a new speaker, the House, Congress is frozen. Uh-huh. And so I think that's one thing to think about. Do centrist Democrats demand something out of Johnson to get his vote? So those are some of the things I'm going to be watching over the next few days.
Yeah, fascinating. I'm going to throw up my ultimate shoot the moon, and that is, what if the center left Democrats and the center right Republicans actually formed a coalition in the middle, they'd be the majority and the Republicans and the Democrats would be the minorities and we would have coalition. We'd have a new coalition, a new majority party in the House. So we'll save that for fiction section later on. But
Yeah, exactly.
Jennifer Habercorn, White House reporter for Politico. Always great thinking and great writing. Thanks so much for sharing with us today.
Great to chat with you, Boyd. Thank you.
All right. Great stuff. Jennifer's really brilliant. She's got a really keen eye in terms of what happens between the administration and Congress, and always grateful for her perspective. We'll step aside for bottom of the hour news. More Inside Sources coming up next.